this time, will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Good and gracious God, creator of all things, we come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We want to keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. In this time, when we think about what we are thankful for, we remember to be thankful for you and for your message. We give thanks for the blessings that you have given to us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. Help us to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it. We pray for those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. We ask your blessings on those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We also give thanks and ask blessings on those in the service industry that need to continue to work in spite of the holiday. The police, fire department, hospital workers, and all those that continue to work to help to make our lives easier. We give thanks for the time and the blessings we've had through the holiday and the opportunity to spend time with family, friends, loved ones, and neighbors. We ask your blessings on those that have spent time alone this season and ask that you help us show them your love that might make this time a little easier for them and show them that your love is always there for them. We pray for travel mercies for those that have chosen to be with family and friends that live away from us, and also those that have traveled to spend time with us, and for the safe return for all of them, that they may be refreshed and ready to face the challenges that lay ahead. Father, we ask for your blessings and guidance for all in need in our communities, in our state, across the nation, and across the world that have suffered due to conflicts going on in our lives and near and far from our homes. Bless our leaders and give them guidance that the decisions they make might be tempered with your love. Give them strength to make the decisions that will give us hope. Guide them with your mercies, that your love may fill their hearts, that your love may be shown through them, that your love may be felt by others that otherwise might seek to harm us and disrupt our daily lives. Now we ask that you hear our prayer as we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you with our requests and concerns in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Reading from Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. It is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, David. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, open this word to us that we might know your gift, that we might enjoy give and in gratitude receive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Christmas, I experienced something I never thought I would, and I experienced it for the first time. That was with a gathering with a family with grandchildren for Christmas. I was engaged at the time to George, and I was invited to come to his family Christmas, and all the kids were there and all the grandkids. Well, I'd helped George pick out the presents for the grandkids, and so it was very fun to watch them open them and be excited and be thankful, and it was a great, great time. Toward the end of the gift-giving, two of the granddaughters came up with the little tiny boxes that had a tag on them for me, and so I opened each of the boxes, and in each box was a little charm that had their first initial on them. And, I'll admit I got a bit teary. The parents did very well. It wasn't some spectacular, extravagant gift, but what it was a gift of welcome. It was a gift that allowed me to become Grandma Sherry, and they're welcoming to me. It was the perfect gift at the time. Maybe you've experienced one of those perfect gifts at some point in your life, a gift that came even though you didn't expect it, a gift that came with no warning, perhaps a gift that didn't seem to be that extravagant, but somehow was amazingly special. And perhaps you have been able to give that gift as well. At some time, even when you didn't think it was that special, you didn't even go to that much effort, and yet the person who received it knew that it was the perfect gift. Isn't it what we want to do? We want to give that perfect gift, and so we start the shopping, the making, that whatever we have to do to make sure that this gift is perfect, and it's what we pursue. And in the activity, sometimes we forget that we do all of this because of the perfect gift. Over these next Sundays, we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to kind of parallel that with our search for the perfect gift. So today, we're going to talk about why we give the gift, why we were given the gift. Next week, we're going to talk about how you prepare to give a gift. We're going to start with paying attention to the one who will be receiving the gift so we can make sure it's perfect. And then on December 13th, we're going to talk about making a plan about getting that gift and giving that gift and how God made a plan. And then the 22nd of December, we're going to talk about the presentation of the gift, because if you are a gift giver, a fine gift giver, you know that presentation is everything. And so we'll talk about that presentation of gift. And so today, we're going to talk about why give the gift. And I thought that to start with, what I wanted to do is just talk about some of the history of gift giving. Because you might think that, well, from the moment that Jesus was born, we started handing out gifts. But that isn't exactly true. In fact, it wasn't until the Middle Ages in Europe that Christmas started to be any kind of marked holy day at all. Now, when you ask people, why do we give gifts, one of the first reasons that comes up was because Jesus received gifts at Christmas. So the gifts of the Magi, those wise men, that comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and the wise men showed up and they gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in Matthew that there were three of them, but I guess they just decided that three of them were needed to hold the gifts, right? So there's three of them showing up. And so we might say, okay, we give gifts because they were given to Jesus. But if we were going to do that, then they probably should be similar gifts, which would mean they'd be laden with symbolism. So think about these three gifts that came to Jesus. The first one, gold. Gold, a gift given to a king, royalty. That makes sense for Jesus. The second one, frankincense, a spice that was used for incense in worship. It was a gift that you might give a priest, which makes sense too, because Jesus would become the high priest for all of us. And then the third gift, myrrh, was a spice that was used in burial. And so that was kind of foreshadowing his death. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I really would want to receive that kind of gift. You know, I'm not even sure what you'd be given, but I don't want to receive that for Christmas. So that might be where gifts come from. It might be why you feel compelled to give gifts, but that's a tradition. Another idea might just come from what happened starting in the Middle Ages. There became a tradition that people would celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. It started December 25th, and it went to January 6th. So all of this Advent stuff, no celebration. Kick off on December 26th. And January 6th, and start on 25th, and on January 6th. So in those 12 days, there'd be feasting, there'd be parties, and people might give a few token gifts, maybe some homemade food, maybe a few gifts that they made. But by the 1800s, it had become pretty traditional that you gave some kind of gift. And, I mean, it's kind of started, and people started to understand that gifts were part of it, but they weren't still very big. Now, some of you might give because, well, there's St. Nicholas. Now, there isn't really that much known about this guy. He was a bishop in the 4th century, and it wasn't until about 500 years after his death that stories that are related to Christmas and giving started to pop up. So they weren't even part of his canonization. So one of the popular stories around St. Nicholas is that he was in his town and he knew this family that didn't have very much money. And so he decided he wanted to give them money to help them, but they were very proud. So to avoid embarrassing them, he took three bags of gold, as anyone would, and threw them down their chimney. And they landed in stockings that had been hung to be warmed by the fire. And so the people woke up, and they found money in their stockings. Hence, everyone in that village started hanging their stockings up, hoping that money might fall into them. So that might be a reason, you know, kind of following that St. Nicholas tradition. But I would say that perhaps here in the United States, gift giving and the real impetus of gift giving had something to do with the late 1800s and the amazing cultural shift that was happening here in the United States. Imagine this, all of these things happening. First, there had been a terrible civil war. Hundreds of thousands of people had died. And the country was reeling. You don't walk away from that kind of thing easily. The country was reeling. And in the midst of that, there was deep grief in both the north of this land and the south. In addition, there was another kind of grief going on as industrialization took over and more people were leaving the farms and the small towns, the rural areas, and crowding into the cities. Not only people who had been born in the United States for maybe first or second generation, but people from across in Europe coming in, a huge immigration wave. Maybe some of your ancestors came over in that time. And so there were a lot of people who were missing home, and they were crowded into tenements in the cities in the United States. And in the midst of that, people started to cling to traditions. They brought traditions from Europe. They brought traditions from their home. And Christmas became a time that united people from different places and gave them a sense of home wherever they had landed. Christmas trees became popular in the late 1800s because people started to bring in to their homes a bit of what they missed out when they lived in the countries. There started to be a rise in the popularity of Christmas cards because people couldn't visit their families like they used to because they lived so far away. And the Christmas letter kind of went away, and the Christmas card, the manufactured Christmas card, rose. And I guess the Christmas letter has come back, hasn't it, with digital printing. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we send those too. But it was a time of change. And I'll tell you another change that was happening was an amazing commercialism. And it had to do with the increasing wealth of the population and ready-made goods becoming cheaper. With industrialization, there were goods out there that could be purchased. And so people, because they had a little more change in their pockets, were able to let go of the homemade stuff and start buying things. And the buying things was actually kind of more of a token, more of an excitement. And what started to rise instead of homemade goods, you'll just love this if you're wrapping presents right now, is the tradition of wrapping presents. Because you're going to buy something from the store, you want to personalize it. So the way you do it is you wrap it. Okay, in a special way. And so that's where that tradition came from. And so as people started to have a little bit more money and the goods were cheaper, we started to buy more. And manufacturers and retailers and advertisers realized that this was a season where they could compel, they could encourage people to buy. And so we come to the present day. All right. We know what the days are this weekend, right? Okay, so what was Friday called? Yeah, Black Friday, right? The shopping day. Anyone out on that day? All right, I see a few brave souls. If you have your Christmas shopping done, do not raise your hand because you don't want to risk it. But and then Saturday, what was Saturday? Small business or local Saturday, and then Sunday, I don't know what Sunday is. Go to church. Thank you. Rest up. Monday is, and Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. Don't you love that? Spend. Got any money left? Give it away. So that's the, I mean, we have this whole thing that's been established for us to kind of train us. And so we take that pile of coupons and things that come in the mail and we look through them. And I don't know, maybe you have your shopping all set for even tomorrow on Cyber Monday. And so we're kind of driven a bit. Now, I know that I'm giving less than a sentimental picture of gift giving, but I think that sometimes it's brutal. Here's an example. This clip comes from Jingle All the Way. There's a in the story. The synopsis is that there's a guy named Howard Langston, and he promised his son that he would get him Turbo Man for Christmas, and it is Christmas Eve.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
I'm trying to find a Turbo Man doll.
Me too.
Do you have any more in the back?
What?
You see that?
What did I say?
These guys are looking for a Turbo Man?
A gentleman doll, yes.
They're looking for Turbo Man.
Hey, everybody. These two are looking for a Turbo Man.
Turbo Man.
Now, what's so funny?
Where have you guys been? Turbo Man's only the hottest selling Christmas toy ever. You know what? We got plenty of Turbo Man's faithful saber tooth tiger booster.
Where's your Christmas spirit? That's better. Now, there must be a Turbo Man around here somewhere.
The last one just left. Some lady had it on layaway.
A lady? What lady?
Short, with a fur coat.
Fur coat.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, buddy. Oh. Give me this.
Hey!
This is war.
I think sometimes it does feel like that in the crowded stores as we're trying to get what we need, the perfect gift that we're searching for. One of the things that's tough is that for a lot of families, with this list of things that are out there, it's difficult to get what everyone wants. There was a Gallup poll released last month. People estimated how much they were going to spend this year. It's in the United States, the average spending predicted is $830 per adult in each household. That's how much. And that means that 30% are going to spend over $1,000 per adult. And of course, when you put that on credit, and it takes you a while to pay back credit, then it's even more money. This gift giving, the search for a perfect gift, can get very expensive. I guess that whether we decide we're going to give gifts because the Magi gave gifts to Jesus, whether we give gifts because we're inspired by the stories of St. Nicholas, or we give gifts because, well, it's what we've been doing big time for over 100 years. Whatever our reason, there may be a better reason. There may be a reason because we have been given the perfect gift. I know that what we want is a simpler time. We want maybe a time that's actually in Christmas mythology. And we want to lean on something as simple as this poem. This is called the Christmas poem. I've got one verse up there. I'm going to read it to you. It isn't the flowing ribbons draped and curled with extra care, or the fine and fancy bows tied with ornamental flair. It isn't the label on the box, the sum of money spent, or anything that shows the length to which you obviously went. It's the genuine offer of love, the yearning to make a connection, a show of honest gratitude, a display of sincere affection. That's the kind of gift we want to give, and it is the kind of gift that we can receive through Jesus Christ. And so we have a hint of that perfect gift in our scripture today. Now I want to tell you a little bit about the prophet Jeremiah. Prophet Jeremiah was often called the weeping prophet. He was sent to Judah and Jerusalem in the 6th century B.C. to tell people that they might as well just give it up because Babylon was taken over and taking people into captivity. Babylon would eventually hold the city of Jerusalem, siege, tear it down, tear down the temple, and take the people. And all the time that they were getting ready to do that and armies were surrounding the city, Jeremiah stood in the city and said, "Give it up, give it up." When we get to chapter 33, from which Dave read today, we find Jeremiah under house arrest in the courtyard of the guard. King Zedekiah has been sick of him talking about giving it up, so he's confined him, but he doesn't want to kill him because, you know, he's a prophet of God after all. Every once in a while, he calls him back in, and he says again, "Give it up." He sends him back into imprisonment. And so Jeremiah has this vision while he's in prison, and it begins this way. He hears God say, "I will bring health and healing to Jerusalem. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before." Now, this is amazing words from Jeremiah, who's been saying death and doom and gloom, and suddenly he has this word of hope. And then, as if to answer the question, how will this be accomplished, he says what we heard today in our scripture reading. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line." Now, for the first hearers of this, those whom Jeremiah declared this, oh my gosh, this had to have incredible hope. Because David's line means King David. And people longed for the time when the kingdom was united and powerful under David. And so when he said, "An ancestor of David is going to rise up," the people had to just love this. Because it meant that all of the oppressors, all of those invading armies, Egypt first, then Assyria, and then Babylon, all of them would be pushed back. And Israel would find itself at peace. An unsteady war kept peace, but a peace at last. And unfortunately for them, while they held hope, the gift did not come as they thought it would. Sure, the people came back. They came back out of exile and they rebuilt their city, but even then, things were unsteady. And they were occupied next by the Greeks, and then finally they were occupied by the Romans. And nation after nation continued to roll over their cities and their peoples. And they still longed for that branch of Jesse, the branch of David, the one that would rise and would give them hope again. Well, that branch came not in the form of a king who took over, but in the form of a king who humbled himself and came as a child. And it was a gift of hope. Now, Jeremiah was not naive. And when Jeremiah offered a gift of hope, he did so in a very difficult time. A time when there would not be happy endings and the people would be taken into exile and they would struggle. And for us, as that branch of David, the branch of righteousness in David is lifted up, we may not find ourselves in the most happy of times. We watch the news and we worry and we mourn for nations and for peoples who are at war or under the threat of terrorism. We wonder if we should go to crowded arenas and theaters. And we worry about what this world is coming to. Individually, we may have family members who are struggling financially with mental illness, with addiction. There may be people in our lives who are just sick. And we wonder, what kind of hope is there? And yet, that branch of righteousness, that branch of David is still there because what Jesus brings is a tenacious hope. That despite what's happening in this world, whether it's right around in our immediate circle of friends and family, or it's out in this world that we hear news that just saddens us again and again, there is a hope that supersedes it, a hope that brings life, that raises us to a joy that can't be put down by this world, that empowers us to move forward and to make a difference as much as we can in the lives of the people around us. This is the perfect gift. And in this perfect gift, we find Jesus. Jesus who came in the flesh as if to honor us by saying, hey, the flesh isn't bad. I'm here. I'm God in it. A gift that came to us in perfect love so that all of us might know how cared for we are. Why give? Why did God send this gift? And we have to ask ourselves sometimes in the midst of all of our tangled emotions and our brokenness and our wholeness, why would God give this gift? And yet we know from the history of the Old Testament moving into the New again and again, God tries to get our attention and to bring us to awe, bring us to worship, bring us to wholeness, calling us to live the life that we were created to live. And Jesus comes to bring that to us face to face, to offer his life so that we would not know death, but that we might have the hope of life forever, starting right now, and to know that joy and to know that peace. Why do we give? We might give for all kinds of reasons, among them tradition, but also we might give out of duty. We might give because, yeah, it's time to offer those presents. But some of those perfect gifts we give because we want to make an amazing connection. We want to give thanks. We want to show our love. We want to know that we understand the person we're giving it to. We know them well. Well, that's the gift that God gives us in Jesus. To say, I know you well, and I'm sending this connection to you so that we might be in relationship. I know you well, and I love you. This is our challenge for this next week. It's an easy one. We can do this. In any gift activity that you're doing, whether you're buying, whether you're making a list, whether you're wrapping, whether you're mailing those gifts that have to go to foreign countries and have to get out soon, whatever you're doing that's connected with a gift, take a moment to give thanks for the perfect gift of Jesus. That's it. Just any gift-related thing, take a moment to give thanks for the perfect gift of Jesus. Today we're going to pass out these little gifts. As you leave, it's a little postcard that gives our worship stuff on it for Advent and Christmas Eve. It has a little bow in it, a little gift tag. It's a gift that you can give to someone else. And you can say, here's a way to start your gift wrapping. And here's a way to get connected to the gift that you need to hear about. Next week when we come back, we'll talk about paying attention and how God has been paying attention to us. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for the gifts that you give, the gift of love, the gift of mercy. And we ask that we might go out into this Advent season remembering, giving thanks for that perfect gift. Amen.